cursed.
Never underestimate your opponent. Expect the unexpected.
Well, hello, Mr. Fancy Pants. I got news for you, pal. You ain't leading but two things right now. Jack and shit. Jack left town.
I can't use Kung Fu for about 3 months.
Because if this one doesn't scare you, you're already dead.
From the gates of hell, they have finally come.
Dartreuse! The only liquor so good they named the color after it.
I'm telling you straight. It's my way or the highway. So anybody wants to walk, do it now.
You kids shouldn't play so rough. Somebody's gonna start crying.
We've got entirely too many troublemakers here.
They use the satanic power of their bodies to turn men and women into their bloodstains.
I will never forgive your ass for this shit. This is some fucked up Republican shit.
Bruce Lee is gone.
From the gates of hell, they have finally come.
Never underestimate your opponent. Expect the unexpected.
Oh, my poor darling. Can you forgive me for having brought you to this terrible place?
Of course, Mom.
Are you going to bark all day, little doggy? Or are you going to bite?
I am recording now, Dana. On my new iPhone! 6S!
And I said, are we going to talk about the horrible movie we watched last
night? Well, we will, but now we've entered the month of October, which is Halloween month, and
Why are you drying my countertop?
I don't know. The last few months, that's an end-in-endo. That's a sexual end-in-endo, right? Drying your countertop. What? But I only watch horror movies. I mean, I watch TV, but any movies I watch have to be horror movies.
Okay.
Maybe one exception or so here and there, but not very many. I had to wait, and I watched an episode of Night Stalker, the zombie, which was one I hadn't watched in a long time, so that was fun off Netflix because I was too lazy to get up and walk 20 feet to my back room and get one.
Yeah, Netflix makes us lazy, let me tell you that much. It did me when I was still living at home with Mom and Dad. I had Netflix, and I wouldn't even get up to go in another room and get my movies out.
But, Friday night I'm pretty tired, and so only got one movie in on my end, and it was pretty bad. It was called Proof of the Devil.
I was watching pretty bad. It was freaking
horrible. Yeah, it was
horrible.
Bad. I deleted it off my hard drive. But anyway, it was a fake documentary. This lady's, I guess, teenage son had...
Jesse or whatever.
Jesse! Damien! But he had killed a bunch of people, and they were saying he was possessed, but they had convicted him and executed him, and to prove that he was possessed, she was going to invite a demon in,
and that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of.
And then she was, and this crew was going to film it, and it kind of went down from there. I guess there was some possession, but the funny thing was, it says Proof of the Devil. But on the screen it says Vatican tapes. Where was the Vatican during this? There was one priest.
There was one priest.
But he gave it up. He wasn't even a priest anymore.
Yeah, I don't know.
So it's like, what the hell are you talking about? So it didn't make any sense. But, I would avoid this like the plague because it really doesn't add up to much. And so today we went around to the Halloween shops around town and Dana stocked up.
I got my costume.
I got a strobe light, which is cool.
Yeah, but you can get that at the Halloween shop. You got that at Walmart.
It's cheaper at Walmart. But did watch a movie that I've been planning on watching forever. Dana got me this Blu-ray from Severin. It's the Nightmare Castle.
Sorry. There have been so many deaths in the horror world lately. Barbara Steele. She's still living.
And it's got some new interviews with her. I haven't watched those yet, but
Steve actually met Barbara Steele.
I did. And unfortunately, the silver Sharpie got me and it smudged.
But he now has a Fangoria issue that's signed by her, and it's not smeared.
Nah, I got that from Dark Delicacy. I decided it was under $20, and that's hell. When you meet her, it costs about $20 or something. So it was a lot cheaper than that. So, or a dollar cheaper anyway. But anyway.
And Steve's got the glory of getting to meet her, and he got his picture taken. And now he's got an unsmeared autograph.
Right. Well, she had sunglasses on, but later on the next day she had them off, which I would have preferred that. But, you know, I'm not going to ask some lady to take her glasses off. Hey,
yeah, he's going to say, hey, Barbara, still take your top off. But.
See me see those 80-year-old titties. But also on the Blu-ray, it's like Terror Creatures from the Grave and A Castle of Blood.
Which is another Castle movie.
Yeah, it is Castle in the title. Now, those movies, I just accidentally started one of them, and they a little bit rougher, but they're supposed to be HD transfers. I haven't watched them yet, but I did watch the Nightmare Castle, and the quality on that is pretty excellent.
Which I would have to agree that the quality is excellent, and I was in and out there. I wasn't actually watching the movie, so I can't tell you about how good the movie was as far as plot. And I'm running water for the dogs.
Yeah.
When you have 30 dogs in the house, they drink a lot of water. Anyway, but I did hear a lot of heavy breathing on this movie.
Well, they were whipping them. But,
and it wasn't related to sex.
So. But anyway, I mean, on the close-ups, you can see pores. I saw
lint.
Lint on this guy's jacket. I mean, the detail is pretty amazing. And the black and white is, I would say, it's up there with what I've saw other great black and white movies on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, this is around the same time as Psycho or a little after. So, but this is Italy, so it's not. They're not like that. I mean, I don't know how on par they were with technology, but I mean, the print looks amazing. So, if you're a fan of those type of movies, you get three.
And you're a fan of Barbara Steele.
Three movies for around $20-something, a little over $20. I think it's well worth it. Severin was selling some autographed ones for a little. I think it was around $40, but you know, if you want an autograph, that's cool. I mean, I can't get you for that.
He's not really big on autographed DVD cases.
I've gotten a few.
Well, he's gotten a few, but I don't think you're real big on that. You'd rather have other things.
If I have other things, but if I only got a movie, like I got Camille Keaton to sign my, Ceremony? Tragic Ceremony DVD. Because am I going to get her?
I got her to sign that cool mini poster of her before I spit on your grave.
Right. But so, I mean, I don't have nothing like that. So, I figured that's better because, I mean, that way it leads to a little bit more. I mean, how many fucking I spit on your grave things has she got to sign? How many tragic ceremonies? Not very many, I would imagine. So, John Amplis, you know, getting him to, and then George Romero signing Martin and
they
stuff.
They signed my mini Martin poster that I got. Steve got me the Arrow release of Martin.
So, I mean, there's some cool stuff there, but...
And I would encourage anybody to go up and meet John Amplis, because speaking of him, he's just an awesome guy to meet. He'll talk to you, and...
Well, I mean, let's be honest, he's not, like, he did a few movies with Romero, I don't think... He did, like, at Toxic Zombies, which is totally awful, but...
Yeah, but I can't fault him.
No, I'm just saying he's not... I mean, I'm sure he's done other things besides movies, like plays and stuff, but, I mean... I mean, the people are going to know him from his Romero
movies.
And I was
a total nerd when I met him because I told him I had a crush on him when he was in Martin. But he, you know, he didn't act like I was weird or anything.
No.
He just, you know, he liked it that somebody liked that movie and liked him in.
Well, I'm sure there are certain movies that, and that's pretty much the one movie he was prominent in, right?
Yeah.
Like, he was the main character, so the other ones, I don't think he was the main.
And I was just like, he's a really good actor, I think. He made that character of Martin sympathetic.
Well, those movies back then were, even with the low budget stuff, the ones that are like Crazies and stuff like that, all of that stuff is, as far as acting's concerned, seems, solid to me, but,
And now they want to put Lynn Lowry in something that makes her look like a, people wanted to say she acted retarded or...
She was acting crazy in the remake. I mean, that's what she was there for. I didn't think she was bad in it, but she wasn't in it for 5-10 seconds. It wasn't that big of a deal.
I know, but I'd rather see her in, Shivers, or They Came From Within, or something like that, where she actually got to show her talent. She's not riding by on a bike.
Well...
And just being a cameo in somebody else's damn remake.
Trying to look at if I got anything new. The only thing I got new is from, I got a couple.
I got something new. I'll talk about
I got a couple seasons of, the last seasons of $6 Million Man.
Yep. And I pointed those out to Steve. He thought he
So she wait. She's the cause of me spending $20.
Am I?
And she got.
Hey, I can talk about it. I'm all
right.
We went to Best Buy today just mainly so Steve could look for a case for his new iPhone, but he didn't find one. Not there anyway. But I got Invasion of the Body Snatchers, the 70s version with Brooke Adams and Donald Sutherland and
Leonard Nimoy.
Leonard Nimoy's on it, Jeff Goldblum, Veronica Cartwright's in it. But anyway, I prefer this one to the original Invasion.
Well, the original one, it was just like it was over. Have you ever seen the original?
Yeah, but it's been
the alien. I mean, it just. I think it didn't end like this one. It ended basically that they just got away with rid of the aliens.
Well, didn't it end with what's his face running around screaming, "They're coming! They're here!"
Maybe I missed. Maybe I've
on my face.
A big disgrace, kicking your can all over the place.
Steve was rubbing my face, so I don't know what was on it. But anyway.
But anyway, maybe I miss. I remember that. But I thought at the end they.
I thought that was the ending.
Well, it might have been. Maybe I'll shut up now because maybe I forgot.
Well, maybe I forgot too.
Maybe we all forgot. You're forgetting hearing this. It didn't ever happen. We're not talking about this.
Okay, whatever.
No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, Dana got the cheap one. It's got those lame. This one's not lame, but the little artwork they post on them to sell the old Blu-rays.
It's got a pod inside of a
rib cage.
Rib cage
with a flower.
Yeah,
looks like a pickle with a bloom.
Isn't that where they come from? Don't they come from like flowers?
They grow.
Yeah, I thought it was.
Anyway,
it's got a few extras. It's got a featurette called Revisitors from Outer Space, or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Pod.
There you go.
Practical Magic, the Special Effects Pod featurette. The Man Behind the Screen, the Sound Effects Pod featurette. And The Invasion will be televised, about the cinematography, and it's got a trailer on it. But sadly, no...
No Leonard Nimoy commentary.
No commentary. They could have had Jeff Goldblum and...
Anyway. And Kevin McCarthy's in this. McCartney's in this one. He has a cameo in it.
Oh, yeah, he does. He does. But he was in the original.
Yeah.
He's the one that was doing all the yelling.
Yeah. The original was more about the communist threat and all that jazz.
Yeah. But this... there are some parts in this
The dog
one,
face... The or the fake the man faced dog is freaky.
I'll tell you what got me was the the end shot where she thinks Donald Sutherland's and isn't it Veronica Cartwright that's like, or because Brooke Adams, does she get turned into one of the pod people?
I don't know, baby.
I thought it was Veronica.
Pod people's a great. Great Mr. Science Theater episode as well with Trumpy.
But anyway, that final shot of Donald Sutherland is awesome.
It is awesome. It's orgasmic awesome.
Wow.
Also, I got the PS4 game of Until Dawn, which I haven't played yet, which I'm thinking I'm just going to pop it in and play a few minutes of it and see how it is, because it's basically just a cinematic kind of movie that you choose what happens and stuff. So, and I
like you choose your own adventure story.
Well, I mean, you do a little few things, but I mean, basically, you're choosing do I run or do I hide and all those kind of things. So, I think that'd be a. And then also, the guy I bought it from off eBay gave me a download of.
Are you supposed to do that?
Yes. Well, it doesn't fit, baby.
I know it doesn't fit.
You gotta quit. You can leave it like that. That's what I did with mine.
Okay. Well, I was trying to fit the.
Well, new my Jeepers Creepers I bought, and it's just like that.
I was trying to put the new artwork on there.
Well, Walmart's supposed to have a bunch of DVDs with new covers, but they don't have them out.
That makes me mad.
Well, that's just the way it is. Or you can change it out with one of your other Blu-rays that you don't care about.
Yeah, good.
Well, and also I want to watch before, you know, it gets too late is Deathgasm. It's supposed to be a horror comedy. It got good marks.
Well, so. Steve told me we would do a commentary.
We're doing a commentary for a real bad movie that will be on the Roku channel. And then, of course, in the coming weeks is Fright Night here in Louisville, and then we'll... I guess somebody record it. Hopefully, it'll. I'm praying that it will not be Madman because that. I mean, that's a fun movie, but we've seen it so many times.
I think we need to do Offerings.
Offerings would be fine because we had a fun time with it.
I don't know if I can encourage CK and UB to do that.
Yes, let's use their alias. Alias is Evil Dead Chick and SP3B.
Yeah.
All right. So, but anyway. So, I'm going to check out a newer movie with Deathgasm, and then from there, we probably will do some type of crazy commentary, and then we'll tell you what that's about later on, but I'm going to take a break now. Are you going to take a break?
I'm going to... What is it, Steve?
Let me do it.
That is not going to come off.
Okay. She's speaking of her bra. But anyway, all right, we're out of here.
Bye.
What she tells me all the time. But anyway, finished up watching Deathgasm, which I was wanting to check out, and we found out a couple of good things about it. It's from New Zealand, and a lot of gore and
practical
and a few CG blood, but a lot of practical effects, and it blew me away because I didn't think it was going to be that good. First, I didn't know it had anything to do about. I didn't read anything about it. All I saw was the blonde holding the axe with blood on her. So I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. But I saw somebody just say it was decent. So I watched it. And then it's about this kid who guess he has to move. I guess his mom died or something. He has to move in with his uncle, and he's a metalhead, and he's moving to this small town, and he kind of hooks up with this other metalhead, and him and his dorky friends do a band, and they decide to name it Deathgasm. But Zach? I think his name was Zach, was the big metalhead douchebag kind of friend. Yeah. They broke into a house that they found out belonged to this old rock star, and they ended up taking an album. But the album was Rick Astley, but inside of it was a some music, and when they played the music, it started summoning this demon.
Did they have to play it backwards?
No, he had to play it backwards to get rid of him. But anyway, spoiler alert, but anyway, I don't think that's a big deal. But anyway, won't go too much more into the story, but it, you know.
It had, Steve and I were talking, it had elements of trick-or-treat.
Yeah, it had old school electrical effects, but not trick-or-treat. And it,
black roses.
And it had a lot of, like Evil Dead 2.
Yeah.
And then Peter Jackson.
Yeah, there was a Peter Jackson influence.
And, you know, it's just, I mean, if you look into something that you haven't seen that reminds you of, like, old rentals that you would take a chance on, this would be one of them because it's pretty cool.
I would agree, and to be honest, I thought it was going to be another piece of crap, like a lot of the stuff that's come out, but I'm glad I took a chance on it, and I can't say that I watched it all with Steve, but I watched the majority of it, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a out-of-nowhere kind of movie, so, yeah, this director might be something big later on. I mean, it might be like that.
Who's the director?
His name's Jason Lee Howden. So maybe in the future we'll hear more out of this guy.
The next Peter Jackson or something.
Well, he actually did work for Peter Jackson on The Hobbit Unexpected Journey and The Desolation of Smaug. He also worked on the Avengers.
Huh.
Looks like he's more of a visual effects guy. He's wrote 4 movies, but this is probably, to me, this best one. And it looks like he's pretty much directed all 4 of the movies he wrote. So,
who wrote this one, who?
Yeah. So, pretty cool. I say definitely check it out. And we've decided on our next commentary will be Jacko.
With Linnea Quigley.
Oh!
And Brooke Stevens.
Oi! And Jacko, oi!
And Cameron Mitchell and John Carradine, although Steve says he doesn't know how John Carradine.
Oi!
I guess we'll find
Jacko
out.
Jacko fell on his back-o. Huh?
Nope.
Jacko fell on his back-o.
I'm willing to do this commentary, but I kind of wanted to do Trick or Treat, but...
Jacko fell on his back-o.
Steve said this would be, more amusing commentary.
Yes, Jacko fell on his back-o. So, here's the thing. John Carradine died in 1988. This came out in 1984, so they pulled some Bela Lugosi shit from Plan 9.
They pulled some old footage out.
Yeah, I mean, what's his name? Ted Nichols? Ted M. Nichols or whatever his name?
Michael,
whatever. Yeah. He was like, using clips of fucking Carradine in new movies that he made in the last 10 years, and he also had like a really bad head in a jar.
Do they have to get clearance to even do that if somebody's dead?
I don't know, but this is his last accredited movie. He also came out with Buried Alive in 1990, 2 years after his death. Hmm. So.
But keep in mind, though, this was the executive producer on this was Fred Olen Ray. So God knows they may have done this movie before Carradine died, and maybe didn't get to put it out till 1994.
No, they didn't film. They probably filmed some of this, and then they decided to do the rest. But we'll save that for the commentary, Dana.
Okay.
So we'll be back after this.
Bye.
Oi!
Are you a dark dreamer?
If you think you're not afraid of the dark, if you think you have a strong stomach, if you feel
nothing can shock you. If you say you don't scare easily. If you believe you've seen everything. You haven't seen these motion pictures that take you beyond fear. Being horrified is just the beginning.
Thank you.
Jacko.
Do we want to talk about that since we did a call?
Yep.
All right.
It sucked. Done.
That's all Steve has to say about it. Well, I will say it was not one of Linnea Quigley's best films.
Not one of Fred Olen Ray's either, but he didn't direct it.
Yeah, but Fred Olen Ray doesn't generally make good films.
But, yeah, this was bad. It was shitty. It was,
and it had some awful kid in there that was the director's son.
Yeah. The kid off Troll 2 was better.
Yeah, Steve kept calling this kid the kid off Troll 2, but he wasn't. And he didn't pee on any food or anything.
Or any hospitality or anything.
I almost finished with
Scream the TV show. I got two more episodes.
Oh, well, I can't comment on that because I haven't been watching it. Cause
it's not bad. It's not too bad. I mean, it's not completely an embarrassment or anything. It's decent.
Okay, well, you'll have to take Steve's word for it if you haven't seen him, I guess. You want to talk about the Scream Queens episodes?
Oh, yeah, we're watching Scream Queens episode 3, and
I'm not real fond of the Scream Queens show.
I thought you were for Jamie Lee Curtis.
I like Jamie Lee Curtis, but I feel bad that she thinks this is her next big step. You know,
she's just having fun because it is a wild show as far as it's bloody and it's also pretty, you know.
But quirky
and funny. I think it's pretty.
It takes all the stuff from Heathers and some stuff from Scream and.
Yeah, but it's. It's
not trying to be anything new, I don't think.
Well, it's hard to do anything new.
That stuff's already been done and been done better.
Yeah, but I like it, so.
Okay, well.
Yeah.
Some of you out there may like it if you're like Steve.
I hope there's no one else like me, hopefully. But anyway.
Why you say that?
I watched that Hammer movie, The Mummy's Shroud, today.
That was a Hammer movie?
Yeah.
That was coma inducing.
It did. It put me in a coma for about an hour or so.
Yeah. And I couldn't sit down and watch it.
The thing was, though, half the movie is them getting is them.
It was a documentary style. Beginning it was.
The beginning of it, which I didn't even know, I guess I missed it, was that this expedition got lost and this guy's father came to Egypt and hired a bunch of people to go find him.
Who was the guy that ended up in the asylum and then broke out of the asylum?
He was one of the guys who found the tomb.
Oh.
There's not enough mummy in the mummy shroud.
I saw a mummy at the end.
Yeah, there was a mummy, but there's not enough. And then,
not one of the great Hammer films.
What I watch.
And then there was, what was that other thing you watched after the, what was it called? Where the chick had been in a mental hospital and it was all the Theater of Death.
Yeah, that was something I had never heard of before, and it's a minor thing. It's Christopher Lee. They're doing a Grand Gulag, you know what it is?
Yeah.
Whatever it is, and you know,
that real bloody reenactment of
real horror and gore theaters back in the.
Christopher Lee must have been hunting for a paycheck because this movie wasn't that great.
Well, it's a weird role for him. I won't go into specifics.
Was he the one that was like yelling at everybody?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was modern day of 1966.
Yeah.
And they were doing this thing, and then somebody's also, and they're calling it a vampire killing because he's like stabbing the neck, and I don't know if he's draining the blood or not, but I don't think it was.
They were talking about somebody that needed to drink blood.
Yeah. But, you know, it was interesting because I've never seen it before.
I couldn't get in.
But other than that, I mean, I probably will never watch it again. because it's not got enough any. It's got
Theater of Blood was better with Vincent Price.
Well, yeah, but that's a different movie. But there's nothing memorable about this movie, to be honest. Theater of Blood is a completely different story. You got Vincent Price and him doing all his. That's one of his favorite roles, and he really went all out on that role with all these Shakespearean stuff from Bob's and all that. I got that on Blu-ray. I haven't watched the Blu-ray.
Oh, we need to.
I got that from Arrow. I got the Steelbook. But yeah, some cool stuff.
Sam wants to talk about it.
Well, Sam's wagon. Maybe I can give him the growl. But watched a documentary on Jack the Ripper. I got another one too, which is 2 hours.
There must be like 50 gazillion Jack the Ripper documentaries.
I downloaded
and
it.
And what I asked Steve was, why are they still trying to figure out who Jack the
Ripper
was?
Because it's something to do.
It's yeah, but even if they ever figure out who Jack the Ripper was, they can't imprison him. Because
the thing
he's
that's got nothing
dead.
To do with it. It's just a mystery that people want to figure out.
But, you know, they may never figure it out. Did they ever figure out who was the Zodiac killer?
No.
Okay.
Not 100%, because there's no way. There's that, you know, that just happened under 40, 50 years ago, and they still can't figure that one out. And this is over 120, almost 120 or so
and I
years.
I just think there's some stuff that...
Yeah, but why? It's a fascination, and it's not like people are actually... Where the police are investigating. It's just armchair detectives.
I've heard podcasts on it.
Yeah.
Listen to podcasts on it.
It's an interesting subject, even though most of the information is redundant because there's not too much.
Yeah, I agree. Redundant. That's why.
But I don't care. I like listening to it.
Because you eventually get to a cold trail because the guy's not even alive.
Don't matter. The same.
Okay.
So, guess that's it for this weekend. We'll take a break and we'll be back.
Steve says he's going to put the commentary on the Roku.
It'll be on there for Halloween because I'm doing a bunch of Halloween stuff.
And we're going to do another commentary of my choosing.
Right. I want to have the Roku channel. I haven't touched it in about a month or two, and so I'm going to...
The Dead Pit Roku channel?
I'm going to bring y'all the good stuff for Halloween and leave it there till the end and then update it sporadically.
He's still got to get his costume for Halloween.
Yeah, but we won't go over
there. I have my costume, but I'm not going to tell anybody what it is.
Awesome. I got a fez.
Steve got a fez hat yesterday.
Yeah.
Stop that.
So, I'm exhausted, so I want to go take a nap.
Bye.
Listen to the flight of the vampire bats summoned from Hades to kill, to destroy. See Kiss of the Vampire in color.
We're back at Movie Central, Dana.
The Benningfield Household Movie Central.
Didn't we watch a movie Monday night? What did we watch?
Oh, I don't know. I'm sorry, but... What was it?
Jeez. Oh, well.
No, we couldn't have watched anything Monday night.
Okay, Tuesday night. We can't remember. But I watched Eye of the Devil, which is from the 60s.
I remember that being on.
Black and White is with young David Hemming
and
Sharon Tate.
Tate.
With David Niven was more, he was a star, and then.
What was it basically about? Some satanic cult?
Well, I don't even know if it was really satanic, but I guess it was. But
and Donald Pleasance. Was
yeah, young bald Donald Pleasance, and they're rich people, obviously. And someone comes to visit Donald Pleasance and says it's time. So he goes back to his home castle or whatever. And his wife and kids follow him. And the gist of it, and I don't think it's a secret, is that, you know, they believe that they have to have a sacrifice. I don't know, for prosperity of the town or whatever. And then David Niven's got to die. So, so it's an interesting movie. It's not my favorite kind of movie like that. I hadn't watched that forever. I was telling Dana about Curse of the Demon, which is a pretty cool movie. Maybe I'll watch that with her later.
We may be doing a commentary.
Well, what was I going to say before Dana did that? Anyway, we watched a newer movie tonight, and I think Dana agrees with me that it was a fun movie.
It was enjoyable and fun.
And it was the...
made me laugh.
Yeah, because it's supposed to be a comedy, kind of. It's the Final Girls, and I like these type of movies. I wasn't 100% sure what this movie was going to be about. The movie starts, and it's basically like a trailer for a slasher called Camp Bloodbath or something.
Which basically has a killer in it that's a lot like Jason.
Yeah, Williams. Even they make the cues and everything. And we find out that the actress is, that's years and years ago, and she has a daughter, and then they're driving down the highway and have a wreck, and she dies. And we're 3 years later, and the daughter's going to school, and one of her friends is playing a double feature of the two Camp Bloodbath movies, mm-hmm. and they want her to come. I guess just because she's the daughter of one of the actresses. And when they do, a lot of kind of circumstances happen where there's a fire inside of the theater. And then,
I missed that because I think I was in the kitchen.
Well, and then they try to escape, so they cut a hole in the screen to go, behind the screen and go out the door or something. Well, they all wake up and they find out they're in the movie. And so they...
Which is 1986. Right?
Yeah. The years don't line up for what they say, but, who cares? But, and some of the references and music is not from 86. It's older.
No, because they played...
Warrant.
A song by Warrant, and Steve was like, that wasn't until...
Warrant was not around when I was still in high school. That was much later, so... But anyway, it's... And they get caught up in the story and running from the killer and all kinds of stuff, trying to kill the killer. And I thought it was a lot better than I expected.
Yeah, it was a lot better than I expected. And the good thing is maybe these directors are starting to catch on about not putting like super obnoxious asshole teenagers or teenage characters in these films, because they're starting to... Well, Lost After Dark didn't have the super obnoxious teenagers in it, and this one didn't.
Well, I like these type of movies where they get lost in a movie, like, and it's not the same thing, but like Waxworks, mm-hmm. where they get lost or transported in these different Dracula movies, Mummy movies, Alien movies, all these different kinds with both the Waxworks movies. I always thought it'd be fun to have them do something like that. And this was pretty cool. I mean, I could have done...
They got stuck in a slasher instead of classic monster movie.
That's fine with me. I wish they had more titties. They didn't show enough. They didn't show any boobs, I don't think.
There were no boobs?
No boobs. Even with the chick that was showing boobs in the movie, they didn't show hers.
The one that was walking around with her headset and
the
Walkman.
Yeah. But it was fun. This and Deathgasm. Two good new movies that we've seen.
Yeah, the Deathgasm was another one that I wasn't sure I was gonna like, but actually ended up getting some enjoyment.
I knew when it first came on and I found out it was New Zealand New Zealand. I like this is gonna be a little bit better than I thought because I didn't know it was foreign. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was a lot funnier, even though it may not be the perfect movie, but it was fun to watch. So I guess we'll take a break and come back and might be tying this up for the show and stuff like that.
Dana has to work tomorrow, so Dana will be watching movies with Steve. So
that's all right.
He says that's all right. He'll watch something by himself.
All right. So Dana can report on the Halloween Whopper. Did it change your feces color?
2 days after.
So it was a little slow acting.
It was slow acting in my body.
Slow acting, tenacting.
But, yeah, you will get green poop.
Yeah, so there you go.
But it was a tasty sandwich, though.
I like when they, on Facebook, they said it will discolor your feces on Facebook. They were,
Well, there's one article I read that was using the word shit. It was.
All right.
That Burger King basically doesn't care about your shit.
Yeah, they don't care about the color. I also got one of those Burger King crowns with made of bones.
Yeah.
And A1 on it.
We've got it sitting on our Blu-ray player.
Yeah, right. So go get a Halloween Whopper and let your feces turn colors.
Yeah.
Out of
magical.
Here. Be back after this.
Bye.
You don't need to stay here.
Kill her, mommy. Kill her.
First you want to kill me. Now you want to kiss me. Blow.
Yeah, Dana. Mm-hmm. We watched Tales of Halloween, Dana. It's a new anthology. Dana does not like it.
I didn't care for it. And I was tricked into yet another movie with old Shepis on it.
It's Shepis and Junior Shepis.
At least she didn't get naked.
Yeah, that's one drawback.
The big highlight was, or two big highlights, Adrian Barbeau's voice and Sean Clark showing up.
Sean Clark showing up and throwing up. Huh? And then I like it because Pollyanna McIntosh.
And I don't even know who the hell that is.
She was the woman in the Lucky McKee movie. She is pretty damn hot in this movie. And then who was the other one?
Serena.
Serena Vincent. But I didn't see what's her face. We didn't see what's her face, Dana.
Barbara Creek.
Yeah, we didn't see Barbara.
Are you sure she wasn't that dark-headed chick and the one, well, I don't want to give it away in case somebody...
Yeah.
The one about the kids attacking them.
No. Oh.
Shepis's friend.
If it was, it would be crazy.
Well, I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out...
Because it looked like a younger woman, so I mean, I don't think it was, but anyway... I'm not going to be as harsh as Dana, but I would say it's worth a watch, but it's not like somebody gave it 10 out of 10, which is ridiculous.
And that guy was acting like it was the greatest freaking movie he'd ever seen in life.
Plus it had Adam Green in it, which you get points deducted.
You definitely get points deducted for that. And for having freaking Tiffany Shepis in it.
And it had Tiffany Shepis' husband in it, too. I think he was in the same story, so it had to be one of those two guys.
Well, I'm hoping it was the one that she was with.
Yeah. Barbara Crampton was the witch in the one with Lynn Shea.
I don't remember. I remember a witch being there.
But I would say production value was very high on this. I think it was...
If you have good production values and it's a lousy movie, what difference does it make?
I don't know.
And John Landis was in it.
John Landis, Joe Dante, Mick Garris.
But I think John Landis phoned it in from his office.
Yeah, we think... Because he was just on the phone and I think he was... I think he always wears a suit. He never wears, like, anything less than that.
John Landis ever wears regular clothes.
Oh, don't you want to come here and see the mystery movie that I was going to show you?
I'll
get
hold on.
Also watched an episode of Night Stalker, The Werewolf.
Which was...
Love Boat.
Which
Werewolf
was awesome compared to this. Of course, I like Darren McGavin, so... All right, what's his...
Okay, so I'm going to let Dana find out when I get to it so she can...
This is going
to
be terrible.
She's going to freak the fuck out.
I'm going to freak out in a good way or a bad way.
I know, it's hard to say. I mean... We'll see here.
I thought it was going to be Vice What? It's in a movie I know.
Well, maybe it's not here. I thought I put it in this area.
Inferno?
Yes, Dana. It's The Green Inferno from Eli Roth.
Right above my Magic Christian movie.
Yeah. So what do you think about The Green Inferno? You ready to partake of some Eli Roth goodness?
Piece of pizza to eat for a
snack. Alright, we'll be back after Dana watches this craziness.
Yeah.
the Prestonsburg City Hall for a news conference from Wes Vance, a.k.a. the Creek Conductor. He's at the podium now, and it seems like he's going to make an announcement. Hold on.
I'm a gay man. I'm a black man.
Well, you heard it here first. Wes is a gay black man. It's very strange.
We're back at Movie Central, Dana.
The Benningfield Household Movie Central.
Didn't we watch a movie Monday night? What did we watch?
Oh, I don't know. I'm sorry, but what was it?
Jeez. Oh, well.
No, we couldn't have watched anything Monday night.
Okay, Tuesday night. We can't remember. But I watched Eye of the Devil, which is from the 60s.
I remember that being on.
Black and white. It was with young David Hemming
and Sharon Tate.
With David Niven was more, he was a star, and then...
What was it, basically about some satanic cult?
Well, I don't even know if it was really satanic, but I guess it was, but...
and Donald Pleasance
was there. Yeah, young, bald Donald Pleasance. And they're rich people, obviously, and someone comes to visit Donald Pleasance and says it's time, so he goes back to his home castle or whatever, and his wife and kids follow him, and the gist of it, I don't think it's a secret, is that, you know, they believe that they have to have a sacrifice, I don't know, for prosperity of the town or whatever, and David Niven's got to die.
Okay. So
it's an interesting movie. It's not my favorite kind of movie like that. I hadn't watched that forever. I was telling Dana about Curse of the Demon, which is a pretty cool movie. Maybe I'll watch that with her later.
We may be doing a commentary.
Well, what was I going to say before Dana did that? Anyway, we watched a newer movie tonight, and I think Dana agrees with me that it was a fun movie.
It was enjoyable and fun.
And it was the...
made me laugh.
Yeah, because it's supposed to be a comedy, kind of. It's The Final Girls, and I like these type of movies. I wasn't 100% sure what this movie was going to be about. The movie starts, and it's basically like a trailer for a slasher called Camp Bloodbath or something.
Which basically has a killer in it that's a lot like Jason.
Yeah, Williams. Even they make the cues and everything. And you find out that the actress is, you know, that's years and years ago, and she has a daughter, and then they're driving down the highway and have a wreck, and she dies. And we're 3 years later, and the daughter's going to school, and one of her friends is playing a double feature of the two Camp Bloodbath movies, mm-hmm. and they want her to come, I guess, just because she's the daughter of one of the actresses. And when they do, a lot of circumstances happen where there's a fire inside of the theater. And then,
I missed that because I think I was in the kitchen.
Well, and then they try to escape, so they cut a hole in the screen to go, you know, behind the screen and go out the door or something. Well, they all wake up and they find out they're in the movie. And so they...
Which is 1986.
Right? Yeah. The years don't line up for what they say, but, you know, who cares? But, and some of the references and music is not from 86. It's older.
No, because they played...
Warrant.
A song by Warrant, and Steve was like, that wasn't until...
Warrant was not around when I was still in high school. That was much later, so... But anyway, it's... And they get caught up in the story and running from the killer and all kinds of stuff, trying to kill the killer. And I thought it was a lot better than I expected.
Yeah, it was a lot better than I expected. And the good thing is, maybe these directors are starting to catch on about not putting, like, super obnoxious asshole teenagers or teenage characters in these films, because they're starting to, well, Lost After Dark didn't have the super obnoxious teenagers in it, and this one didn't.
Well, I like these type of movies where they get lost in a movie, like, you know, and it's not the same thing, but like Waxworks, mm-hmm. where they get lost or transported in these different Dracula movies, mummy movies, alien movies, all these different kinds with both the Waxworks movies. I always thought it'd be fun to have them do something like that. And this was pretty cool. I mean, I could have done...
They got stuck in a slasher instead of, that's fine. Monster
that's fine with me. I wish they had more titties. They didn't show enough. They didn't show any boobs, I don't think.
There were no boobs?
No boobs. Even with the chick that was showing boobs... In the movie, they didn't show
hers.
The
one that was walking around with her headset and
her
Walkman.
Yeah. But it was fun. This and Deathgasm are two good new movies that we've seen.
Yeah, Deathgasm was another one that I wasn't sure I was going to like, but actually ended up getting some enjoyment.
I knew when it first came on and I found out it was New Zealand, New Zealand... I like, this is going to be a little bit better than I thought, because I didn't know it was foreign. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was a lot funnier, even though it may not be the perfect movie, but it was fun to watch. So, I guess we'll take a break and come back and might be tying this up for the show and stuff like that.
Dana has to work tomorrow, so Dana won't be watching movies with Steve. So.
That's all right.
He says that's all right. He'll watch something by himself.
All right. So, Dana can report on the Halloween Whopper. Did it change your feces color?
2 days after.
So it was a little slow acting.
It was slow acting in my body.
Slow acting to acting.
But yeah, you will get green poop.
Yeah. So there you go.
But it was a tasty sandwich, though.
I like when they, on Facebook, they said it will discolor your feces on Facebook. They were,
Well, there's one article I read that was using the word shit. It was.
All right.
That Burger King basically doesn't care about your shit.
Yeah, they don't care about the color. I also got one of those Burger King crowns made of bones.
Yeah.
An A1 on it.
We've got it sitting on our Blu-ray player.
Yeah. So, go get a Halloween Whopper and let your feces turn colors.
Yeah.
Out of
magical.
Here.
Magical.
Be back after this.
Bye.
It's so scary, we dare you to see The Monsters Crash the Pajama Party, the first movie ever filmed in horror vision, Hollywood's latest miracle. You'll scream as fiendish movie monsters actually become alive, then crash right out of the screen, go into the audience, and carry screaming girls from their seats right back into the picture to become part of the movie. We warn you, horror vision is not 3D. The movie monsters become real flesh and blood. Be sure to see The Monsters Crash the Pajama Party in horror vision and color.
I was waiting for you. Hey, what's wrong?
Oh, it's nothing. It's just a readjustment.
Your eyes. Hey, what's wrong?
Oh, it's nothing. It's just a readjustment.
Your eyes.
Yeah, Dana.
Mm-hmm.
We watched Tales of Halloween, Dana. It's a new anthology Dana does not like it.
I didn't care for it. And I was tricked into yet another movie with old Shepis on it.
It's Shepis and Junior Shepis.
At least she didn't get naked.
Yeah, that's one drawback.
The big highlight was, two big highlights, Adrian Barbeau's voice and Sean Clark showing up.
Sean Clark showing up and throwing up. Huh? And then I like it because Pollyanna McIntosh.
And I don't even know who the hell that
she
is.
She was the woman in the Lucky McKee movie. She is pretty damn hot in this movie, to my. And then who was the other one?
Serena.
Serena Vincent. But I didn't see what's her face. We didn't see what's her face, Dana.
Who? Barbara Crampton?
Yeah, we didn't see Barbara.
Are you sure she wasn't that dark headed chick in the one? I don't want to give it away in case somebody.
Yeah.
The one about the kids attacking them.
Mate. No. Oh.
Shepis's friend.
If it was, it would be crazy.
Well, I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out.
Because it looked like a younger woman, so I mean, I don't think it was. But anyway, I'm not going to be as harsh as Dana, but I would say it's worth a watch. But it's not like somebody gave it 10 out of 10, which is ridiculous.
And that guy was acting like it was the greatest freaking movie he'd ever seen in his life.
Plus, it had Adam Green in it, which you get points deducted.
You get, yeah, you definitely get points deducted for that. And for having freaking Tiffany
Shepis
in it.
Oh, and had Tiffany Shepis' husband in it, too.
Now, I don't even know who her husband is.
I think he was in the same story, so it had to be one of those two guys.
Well, I'm hoping it was the one that she was with.
Yeah. Barbara Crampton was the witch in the one with Lynn Shay. Yeah, but I would say production value was very high on this. I think it was.
If you have good production values and it's a lousy movie, what difference does it make?
I don't know.
And John Landis was in it.
John Landis, Joe Dante, Mick Garris.
But I think John Landis phoned it in from his office.
Yeah, we think because he was just on the phone, and I think he was. I think he always wears a suit. He never wears like. Anything less than that.
I don't think John Landis ever wears regular clothes.
Oh, don't you want to come here and see the mystery movie that I was going to show you?
I'll
get
a phone on.
Also watched an episode of Night Stalker, The Werewolf.
Which was...
Love Boat. Werewolf.
Which was awesome compared to this. Of course, I like Darren McGavin, so... Alright, what's his...
Okay, so I'm going to let Dana find out when I get to it so she can...
This is going
to
be terrible.
She's going to freak the fuck out.
I'm going to freak out in a good way or a bad way.
Well, it's hard to say. I mean... We'll see here.
I thought it was going to be Vice One. It's in a movie I know.
Well, maybe it's not here. I thought I put it in this area.
Inferno?
Yes, Dana. It's The Green Inferno from Eli Roth.
Right above my Magic Christian movie.
Yeah. So what do you think about The Green Inferno? You ready to partake of some Eli Roth goodness?
Maybe after I get me one piece of pizza to eat for a snack.
All right, we'll be back after Dana watches this craziness.
Now, prepare yourself for the most gruesome and grotesque horror film experience of them all. The Bloodorama Shock Festival. Vampires, ghouls, half-human monsters, and creatures from the world of the undead all joined together in one fright-filled, fantastic cavalcade of the weird and bizarre. The Blood-O-Rama Shock Festival. Are you ready for more than 4 hours of chill-crammed terror? Join Christopher Lee, Greta Tyson, Ken Taylor, and John Ashley in search of new, hideous horrors. You'll see men turn into maniacs and dead beings turn into living, breathing, unholy beasts that kill at the command of a half-mad fiend. It's all there and in bloodletting, gory color. Don't be afraid. See the Blood-O-Rama Shock Festival if you dare.
James T. Kirk of the Starship Enterprise. Scotty beamed us down here by mistake. Spock, you've got to get us out of here. Hi, Captain, I'd like to, but we cannot get a fix. Spock, the people here are dressed so strangely. Strange 20th century life form. There's an actual love bug walking around. Spock, analysis, please.
Yes, Scott. No bug. What did some of these?
It's Amityville, y'all. Yeah. You want to go to the house on the hill? Amityville! House on the hill. Count crack, walked out with no kind of class. Drinking something that was bubbling from out of his glass. So I panicked and I hit the deck. Could have swore he was coming straight for my neck. Then he said,
yo, Starsky, there's no need to fear. Didn't you read the invite? You're the star of the year. All the monsters came from miles around just to hear you rock, because you got down, down.
You wanna go? Come on. There's enough room. We can all go to the house on the hill.
to. You didn't understand me, I said Amityville. To the house on the hill. It's the house on the hill. You make the left and you make the right, then you go Amityville. It's the house on the hill.
So, Dana, just to go over, I did watch the Green Inferno. I had a double feature, Green Inferno and Knock Knock. Who's there? Nobody.
Okay, and what was your perception of Green Inferno?
Well, I mean, I know you kind of really got upset because you didn't want to watch it.
I saw parts of it.
You saw the beginning and you didn't want to see
it. And I saw the end and I wasn't impressed.
Well, you didn't want to see the beginning of it. You were just like all over it.
Okay, well.
But, I mean, to be honest with you, the first 15, 20 minutes is about this girl. She's going to college and she gets swept up into this group that's going to go protest or do something about the rainforest getting tore down. And it's like, I can't believe how stupid this person is for going to a foreign land. And when they get there.
And chaining themselves to equipment.
Yeah, and then they have their phone up. Like, they're using their phone to film all this and send it out on the internet. So they basically get all these people and they have guns.
What was they destroying, the rainforest? Is that what it was?
They were trying to stop them from bulldozing it.
Okay.
So they put them on a plane to get them the hell out of there, and the plane crashes, and then a bunch of them get captured by these cannibals, and then they get the fat one, and they basically just start
a heavy set guy.
They just cut his legs off, and cut everything off, and put him in a big oven and eat him up.
But the thing that really turned me off of the movie was the fact that they just made these native people look like complete savages. There was no reason, like in the films that had come before, Campbell Ferox, Campbell Holocaust.
Yes, Dana.
They did something to those people. Those people just wanted to be left alone, and the outsiders come in and did horrible things to them, and so they in turn did horrible things.
Those
to
are
those
real.
People.
Besides a few of those actors, there's some actors that were playing those. Cannibals, a lot of them were real
natives
of that area.
People, yeah.
They had to they showed Cannibal Holocaust and they were laughing up a storm at it, and to show them what they wanted them to act like.
Uh-huh.
Now, you might want one good thing, what he did, because I mean, they don't care about money, but mm-hmm. After the movie was done, he had them shipped all this tin to make tin roofs on their little structures.
So Eli Roth.
Yeah, so that was nice, but.
Yeah, but I mean.
The movie itself is not something I ever need to see again because it was just. If you were a smart person, you would not. There's no way anyone with any sense would get caught in this.
First, if you're going to protest, why not protest in your own damn country first?
She got swept up and stuff, but I mean, I'm sorry.
Her druggy friend didn't get swept up.
No, her druggy friend was the smart person. So. Anyway,
stay on campus.
Anyway, the same girl who was the hero or the main character of Green Inferno turns up in his new other movie, Knock Knock, which mm-hmm. is a remake of that Deadly Games.
With Colleen Camp and Sandra Locke.
Right, when Colleen Camp has a cameo in this. And then,
oh my gosh, I mean, poor Colleen Camp. Steve says she's got some kind of illness.
I think either the medicine or something's making her, you know, but this has been...
She didn't even look like an older version of Colleen Camp.
She gained a lot of weight, but I mean, that was over 30 years ago. But anyway, and Sandra Locke and Keanu Reeves produce it, so that's kind of weird because I hadn't seen...
That's just bizarre. I don't...
And so, I mean, if you hadn't seen Deadly Games, I think this one's probably a little bit more... I don't know. I would go with this one versus the other one. Because it's a little bit more entertaining and, you know, the modern setting helps it a lot.
Well, either one you watch, I just found it hard to believe that maybe I'm naive or something.
You are.
But I find it hard to believe that a man would allow himself to be sucked in by two women that he just accepts that they want to both screw him.
Well, anyway, they show up in the rainstorm.
Yeah.
They're looking for some place. Their clothes are wet, so he gives them some. He puts her clothes in the dryer and gets them some robes.
And they
he calls he to make it modern. He has one of these apps on his phones to order a cab, or maybe just one of those things where you just get normal people who act like cabs.
It would have been funny if he ordered pizza or something.
Well, that's what he called him. He said that you just offered me free pizza at the end. He goes, I'm gonna eat pizza, you know, like I was telling you about that. But anyway, so. Unfortunately, they take a shower, and he tries to get them out of the house, but they basically just rip his pants off and start doing him. And then from then on...
But a guy can't, you know... And I said this about the original movie, too. A guy won't say, no, I love my wife, I love my kids, I'm not going to do this. He can't
it's like,
spend
like
them
like they
off.
Said about free pizza. If someone gives you pizza, you're not going to...
Free pizza and... double teaming somebody with sex is two different things.
But it's
Steve.
Free pizza. But anyway, things go bad for this, and they
go from bad to worse.
Yeah, it goes really bad. They mess with his mind. They beat him up. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff going on.
They threaten him that they're gonna blackmail him, make it look like he raped them, and
I mean all kinds of things.
They tell him that one girl's like 15 years old, and
but anyway, it's a I would say it's worth a watch, and I would say it's probably, you know, I don't know, I'm trying to think of the order of movies, but I would say it's probably his second second or third best movie if he's made. Which, you know, not saying a whole lot, but I mean, it's decent.
I still say Cabin Fever is the only
I don't think
Roth
that was that
ever
good.
Watch. Once he got into the Hostel stuff, he's like.
I still think the first Hostel's good, but anyway.
Well, you're a man too.
I'm a man, but anyway. So Knock Knock, who's there? I'd say, you know, watch it.
Is that what it's called, or is it just called
Knock
Knock?
Knock Knock.
Okay, well, I thought you were being.
So good. That brings us up to. Or kind of up to the Fright Night Film Fest that we went Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't even call it a film fest. Well, it showed films, so I can't say that.
It did, but if you were going there to meet anybody, then forget it, because I don't think it was worth that. Because I thought I heard Jim Winburn, or whatever his name is, that played Michael Myers at one time, I guess, he broke through a door or whatever Wes was saying in the original Halloween. Have I heard he was charging $25 for that?
Well, anyway, I mean, there was a line there. I mean, it looked like everybody almost everybody that was there was in line, because I would say
were only a handful of
people. At max, there might have been 15 people at one time, not excluding the vendors, and then the vendors, I would say there was...
Steve got a poster.
Yeah, but I bought that off Ken Daniels, but yeah, I got a Spookies poster, but everything else, I mean, I hate to be downbeat, but I mean, I just think it was, there's no need for this. I can't see anybody making any money off of that.
Not to say anything bad about Ken or anything, but I don't think he's into it anymore.
Like I said, I mean, somebody posted that. When he posted the link for who's going to be there as far as the horror celebrities, which, give me a break.
Well, somebody told him he wasn't, aren't even trying
anymore. You're not even trying, which I 100% agree.
Which pretty much sums it up.
I mean, he's put all his barrels in Fandom Fest, so I would say let this just die unless you get something... I mean, there's just nothing there.
Well, Steve had an idea that
well,
I thought was a good
they're not,
idea.
No one's going to do that. But, I mean, if you want to make this more like a wasteland, which I just don't see happening, is you're going to have some guests. Wasteland doesn't have... They have some guests, at least one that somebody might be interested in. This one was not... I couldn't be interested in any of it. But, you know, whatever... we had a pretty good time with the commentary and stuff.
Yeah, that was solely our reason for going.
Yeah, that was it. And if it happens again next year, I will not be going other than in that. I'm not going to spend a minute of my time there unless he has somebody worth a shit. Because I remember when Fright Night was a big deal, and it was a giant thing. But now it's gone, so let's just let it go. And, you know, I'm perfectly understanding why Phantom Fest probably makes a lot more money than Fright Night does. Okay, I understand. So let's just kill this and not make it into some kind of miserable shit that it was. Well, I mean, to me, anyway. Other people may have a great time. I didn't watch any of the films, so I can't. And
only film we watched was Rocktober Blood, which is the commentary.
Yeah, but I mean, I can't judge it on that. I mean, but this just seemed like there was just no one there. If the public doesn't care, I mean, I would think it's time to just let this go, and put all your eggs in a barrel with that, the Phantom Fest, and just don't worry about this one anymore.
But you know what's going to be sad if Ken does say, well, screw it, I'm not going to do this anymore. There's nobody else that's doing any kind of horror stuff in Louisville. That means Louisville's going to be dead as far as horror.
This ain't no horror stuff. This was not horror. I mean, give me a break. If you'd rather have nothing or that, I would rather have nothing because it wasn't nothing I was interested in other than hanging out with my friends.
Are the big places for close to us that's going to have horror conventions. So if Louisville doesn't have anything, that's going to mean just Lexington and Scarefest.
Well, in Indianapolis, Indianapolis and Cincinnati, depending on
Whorehound. I'm talking about in Kentucky.
Well, I mean, I'm fine with that. I don't care. I mean, I'd rather drive 2 hours to Whorehound or Days of the Dead, where they actually have a lot of stuff to at least walk around and look at. I mean, sure, I don't want to spend a whole weekend there, but I'll spend a 3, 4, 5 hours there, maybe. I might have one or two guests that I want to meet, but they also have a lot of stuff that I probably won't buy. But I mean, last time we were there, we bought stuff. Severin was there, and I got a couple of Blu-rays off them for a really good deal. They had a bootlegger here, and a few other people that are selling their own movies, but the bootlegger had like 3 tables worth of shit. I mean, and it really was just like stuff that someone downloaded and burnt to a disc. I mean, honestly.
And there wasn't anything special on.
There was nothing there that I couldn't get for myself for free. So I was like, I wasn't going to buy it anyway. That one thing I bought was that Swingers Massacre a few years ago because I really wanted to see it.
And, I forgot about that.
And I don't know. It had a release on DVD, but it was probably the same, probably the same transfer, VHS transfer. So it wasn't a big deal. But, I don't know what to say other than, I'd say it's time to put a cork in it or take it seriously and do something with it versus what we got.
But it's like you said, if you see that you're making money, more money, if it's more profitable to have Phantom Fest.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine.
With comic book stuff and pop culture. Steve, stop playing with that. Steve's playing with my Kirby
boobs.
You're not going to even want to deal with the horror stuff because it's not making you any money. So why would he even try with that?
Well, I mean, first of all, okay, you had a good name with Fright Night, and then last year was like, last year had more celebrity guests.
Last year was pitiful. Yes,
I'm getting to that. Last year was like in one room, and I walked around it in 10 minutes at a slow pace, and I was finished. Mm-hmm. Now you did have like Jennifer Rubin, and I can't remember.
Halloween 5 people when they're Halloween 5 people.
Then. Maybe.
Yeah, that guy that played Spitz and.
Yeah. So I mean, they had a few, guests that somebody might know from
and
horror movies.
Tamara Glenn or whatever her name was, the blonde from Halloween 5.
Yeah, so I mean they had a few, but this one was just like, here's 3 people and Kayla Perkins.
Three people and Kayla Perkins.
I mean, no one, I mean, I'm sorry, but Kayla Perkins has been in a extra in a few movies, but that's it. And she goes to these conventions. It looks like she's pissed off and doesn't want to be there. It's like, well, why don't you not go there then? I don't understand.
Because maybe Ken begged her to come.
Oh, I'm really not sure about that. But anyway.
Was George Vanilla there?
Apparently, but I never saw him.
Well, I didn't need to see him. No. No offense, but.
But anyway, so, yeah, Fright Night, unless something magical happens next year, there will be no me going there. Maybe if there's some kind of, like, commentary thing like they did. But other than that, no-go on Steve-O. Ever. I'm not going to waste an hour or a minute of my time going in there for nothing.
I'm going to say this. The commentary was awesome. That was the best part of the whole thing. And I had a good time. But I'm not going to go into details. I'm just going to say I don't recommend, even though it's been remodeled and stuff like that, I don't recommend anybody using that conference center at the Ramada on Bluegrass Parkway in Louisville for anything, because the staff's not very friendly.
That was somebody that was working with Ken that wasn't part of the hotel staff.
Okay, that's even worse.
We won't go into that. It was nothing.
Because
it wasn't a big deal.
Had to do with alcohol. Ken knew it was going to be a drunken commentary. Why would he let his staff do that?
Okay, I don't even know if that was his wife. I don't know who that was.
That wasn't Myra or whatever her name was.
All right, I don't know. It's not a big deal. But anyway. So, I think that we've done much as we can on that.
Okay.
I got the Demonoid Blu-ray in from Vinegar Syndrome, or Exploitation TV, because that's what it says when you order it. Now, I don't know what the deal is with that. But anyway, I'll be checking that out.
Exploitation TV.
Yeah, that's their streaming service.
Oh. Well, and I did get something from Wes. He gave...
Yeah, he gave me the... That's another thing I need to watch soon is Thirst. It's an Australian vampire movie with David Hemming. And he gave Dana the Pete Walker collection,
which I'm going through, but I keep falling asleep. And it's not because it's boring, it's just because I get sleepy at night. But I've been trying to watch Schizo, which has an interview with Pete Walker from 2012.
Also, I finished watching House of Long Shadows.
Oh, which that is was another Pete Walker
last
thing.
Movie that he directed in '83, which... It was a lot different than I remember, and of course the transfer was awesome looking for a movie around '83 from Canon Movies, which is another surprising thing. So it's a pretty reasonable price Blu-ray if you want it, like $12 or something. So if you want to check it out and don't have any other way, it's you're not really wasting money. It's a decent watch. So I suggest that.
Well, in this Pete Walker collection, I don't know what price you have to pay for it right now, but maybe Steve knows. But
no.
I really appreciate Wes giving it to me. I was going to pay him something for it, but he gave it to me because I think...
Yeah, and he also gave me, was it Donald Duck and Mathland?
Donald Duck and Mathland, which I don't think Steve...
He asked me if I'd learned anything.
Yeah,
and I told him, I said, I just started, so I just know 1 + 1 = 2.
Oh,
I just started, so hopefully I'll move on.
But Schizo is the only movie that I've seen on that collection, and it looks pretty good. It's grainy in some spots.
Yeah.
I had seen a HD transfer of it before, and this looks comparable to that. So
we'll next time we'll come back quicker. So, be in time before Halloween and watch some Halloween 6 producer's cut. I haven't watched that yet.
And we're going to watch the original Halloween. We're going to watch my...
Yeah, the 35th anniversary one.
Yeah.
And
the
then,
version that some people said looked awful.
And then
feels
watch the new Demonoid Blu-ray. So, we'll be back next time. We'll be right back. right, sweetheart. We watched some movies last night. What the hell was we watching?
Do we want to talk about what we did, the commentary?
Well, yeah, but we watched something before that. Oh, yeah, the... Did I talk about that, maybe? The bloody exorcism of...
I don't know, with Coffin Joe in it.
Yeah.
I don't know if we did or not. I don't recall.
Yeah, it was a weird little movie he made, and it's kind of like a meta movie where, like I was telling Dana, it's kind of like New Nightmare a little bit because...
Only not as
he's
good.
The guy who created Coffin Joe, and then somehow Coffin Joe comes alive. I don't think it's that good, but, you know, it's weird because it's...
It's entertaining foreign. Because so many it's weird little, things happen.
A little trippy, but...
And a guy's got a pink suit on.
Yeah, pink leisure suit. Mm. But anyway...
Brink wants to say something.
Say something, Brink.
Well,
she moved her nose, so... we watched and did a commentary for Happy Hell Night.
Which does actually have something to do with Halloween.
Yeah. We'll have it up on the Roku channel shortly.
That's going to be an exclusive to the Dead Pit Roku channel.
Exclusive. And after that, we watched the Vinegar Syndrome release of Demonoid. How did you like that, Dana? A little slow, ain't it?
Yeah, quite a bit slow. It had Samantha Eggar in it and...
Stuart Whitman.
I guess they were the two main people.
Yeah, I mean, it was more of a Mexican kind of thing because there is a Mexican DVD version on in the release, or Spanish version, I guess. I remember seeing this on the USA Network 30 Nightmares. They showed this. And it seemed a whole lot more action-packed. But, I mean, there's some action in this movie. But also, we've noticed that Ted White's in it for a little bit.
Yeah.
That was funny. All of a sudden, Ted White shows up. And this is before Friday 4.
Yeah.
So, he didn't last too long in this movie. But it's a decent little movie. I want to watch it again because I got a case of the blackouts last night because I was so sleepy. I started going in and out of consciousness.
Yeah, I kept telling Stevie she's not ready. Yeah.
And of course, when I lay down, I can't go to sleep. And I had to find something to watch, and I don't even know what I watched now. I can't remember. But while you were at work today, I watched a few movies. I watched some like Prince of Terror or something. It was a weird. I don't know if it was Italian or Spanish, but it had this weird dude. It looked like Dario Argento in the face, but he had like really deep circles under his eyes, real purplish and
yeah, but so did Argento.
Yeah, but he had like really fuzzy or not fuzzy, but greasy looking hair, real long hair that went over his face, and he was just he was tormenting this woman for some reason. He just following her, and then. You know, then the movie, it's weird because it's showed from her perspective, and then it goes to his perspective. It follows him for a little bit, then it picks up with the woman following him. And I don't know, I actually fell asleep again. But.
You did a lot of sleeping, didn't you?
Well, it seems like it, but no, it didn't seem like a lot. But, I watched a Mexican movie called Forest of Death, which really...
Steve told me wasn't very good.
I mean, it was a lot of... it's only like 80 minutes or so, and it's been over half of that with no... hardly any
you
killing.
You said there were like 45 minutes without any... Like,
I mean, it's
in.
Really... And then near the end, it starts having some killing, but really not a...
It's, well, is it a slasher, or is there a creature doing
no,
that?
No, it's a slasher.
Okay.
I don't know. It's just kind of a weird... It's from 1993, so... In Mexican movies, that's still in the 80s, because...
Pretty much.
It looked like it. So, anyway, it was a... Again...
They were still stuck in the 80s.
Again, not very good. And then we watched the Fulci's The Black Cat, the new HD transfer. which looks okay. Nothing spectacular, but...
And the movie's not one of Fulci's best.
No, the movie, it has a lot of components there. I mean, it was made around the same time as The Beyond, but...
And it has David Warbeck in it.
Right. And it just doesn't seem like none of that transferred over to this movie. The score,
like they wasted David Warbeck having him in this, because...
Yeah, I mean, he's in it, but he... I mean, I would... It's hard to say. I wouldn't say... The old man is in this movie is more of the main actor than David Warbeck.
Yeah.
And
that guy about put me to sleep, so...
We got too many damn close-up of his baggy eyes. I mean, like, in his eyebrows, like, they're out-of-control eyebrows. It's like, can there we not do that?
There weren't enough deaths in there, either.
I mean, there's some good gore and stuff in here for that, but, I mean, it's just, I don't understand what happened. It's definitely, I wouldn't say it's more realistic because, I mean, there's a cat killing a bunch of people, cat opening doors and stuff, but compared to The Beyond, this is fucking a documentary. So I don't know. I wish it had a little bit more of The Beyond nightmare outlandishness, and then that might have been a lot better.
Zombie like stuff better than I do.
Well, this could have been better, but you know, because I mean, he can do craziness, and he can do like New York Ripper and Sleazy,
yeah,
all this stuff, and in this movie, you know, I would say it's better than some of his later stuff for sure, but it just doesn't have the punch.
I guess probably since we're talking about Fulci, the first Fulci movie I ever seen was Gates of Hell, or
I think that's probably mine. Of course, I rented the House of Seven Deaths or whatever it was called.
Now I rented that Seven Doors of Death.
Yeah, Seven Doors of Death. I rented that one time, and then I came back the next year about the same time and rented it again.
But
and they used to have library cards in them, so you could see who rented them. And I happened to notice I was the only one that rented it in a year. But I liked that movie a whole lot, and I didn't, you know, and it was still not very good transfer.
But I did not realize that it was. At the time that I rented, I didn't realize it was a Fulci movie. I should have known Louis Fuller.
I never got into like who made what. I mean, I just liked what I liked, and you know, I didn't even know that much about Argento. I knew I liked opera because I rented it a bunch of times.
I'm trying to remember what the first Argento movie I saw was.
Well, mine was easy. That was Deep Red. I watched it.
It was either Deep Red or Suspiria.
I watched it on TV. I bought a VHS of Suspiria from Buds. Now, you know what Buds was?
Buds, no.
His name was Bud Walton. He was the brother of Sam Walton of Walmart. So okay. Buds was like, they would tell you things that fell off the truck were discounted at Buds from Walmart. So I had that's what they said.
Was a Buds at?
In Campbellsville.
Really?
Yeah.
I never heard of Buds.
But, it lasted maybe a couple years, but not very long. But I bought that tape, and I took it home and started watching it. And, of course, the tape is horrible looking because it's all washed out. I always fell asleep on it. One time, finally, I decided I watched it all. And watched it all. And I was like, hey, I watched it. And, of course, years later when the DVD came out and it was all clear and shit, it was, like, amazing looking. God knows what happened to that VHS.
I'm thinking it must have been...
Good Time Video, probably.
I'm thinking Suspiria must have been the first one I watched, and then IFC was having, like, Argento Week or something one time around Halloween, and I think that's where I saw Deep Red and Tenebrae. And,
well, like I say, I saw Deep Red on television, and it was pretty much uncut. After staring at live, like, way back in, like, the...
I bet you thought this was awesome.
I was watching, I was like, you know, because I was more of a night owl then, and, you know, seeing all this violence and shit, and I was like, holy crap. And they also showed...
That's the way I did when I saw Deadly Friend on regular television late at night. They showed everything.
They showed the crazies, and I think it was called, like, Codename Trixie.
Yeah.
And then I saw tits. And I was like, holy crap, I got to see boobies. And then at the end, you know, the black guy takes all his clothes off and gets on the helicopter hanging from it.
Oh,
they showed
yeah.
all that, and I was like, this is insane. They don't know what they're doing. They're showing all these nudity and stuff. And so I watched, you know, of course, that was pretty much the end of all the nudity. They never showed nothing quite like that again, but it was kind of neat.
Well, the first time I caught Deadly Friend, and it was like, it was probably 11 o'clock or so at night. And I was watching it, and when she hits Ann Ramsey in the head with that ball, and it exploded everywhere, and then the body's jerking around, I was sitting there like, I cannot believe I'm seeing this on television. But, you know, occasionally you would find stuff like that late.
Yeah, I mean, everybody knows about the monster vision in the hand. Well, Michael Caine says fuck
they
every time they show.
In there every time.
Every time they show that.
Because I didn't see it the first time Joe Bob showed it, but like this one of the other times that they showed it,
he even mentioned it one time, and then they showed it again. He did the same thing. It wasn't his deal.
I remember laughing, and my mom, I think my mom heard Michael Caine say fuck, and she's like, Dana, did he say fuck? No, I think she said they don't usually have that language on that.
Yeah, they don't say fuck on TNT,
no,
do they?
No, she didn't say fuck. What is
fuck sticks.
Well, anyway. Anyway, that's pretty much it, and this will probably be our Halloween show, even though we didn't intend it to be. But, you know, if you get the chance, you can go to the Dead Pit Roku channel. We got a bunch of stuff on there. If you want to, there's a YouTube video, so if you just do a search for Dead Pit and Roku, it'd probably come up.
To show you how to get on there.
And so,
And check out our commentary that
yeah.
he says I made him do.
Yeah, we already got one on there. I forgot what that one is.
Is it Haunted Ween?
Yeah, Haunted Ween's on there, so. But anyway, so, And then plus we'll have the Fright Night October Blood coming up soon, so you can check it out for that.
Yeah, Dana's gotta get that put together.
We got Spookies on there.
I've still gotta see Spookies.
We got the Hazing on there, which I like.
Forget that.
And some other good stuff. So we got a Halloween remix, which is cool. You can watch all kinds of cool stuff on the Roku channel. On demand, so
it's there for your viewing pleasure.
Yeah, and I'll probably put some cool stuff on there at least one more, like a Halloween remix thingamabob. As far as like Halloween treats or something that somebody made, and I really like watching them. But happy Halloween, mm-hmm. and we'll be back next time.
Happy Halloween.
It's close to midnight, and something evil's lurking in that dark. Under the moonlight, you see a sight that almost stops your heart. Close your eyes and hope that this is just imagination, yeah. When all the while you hear the creature coming up behind, you're out of time. Yeah, this is thriller night, and you don't stand a chance against the beast about to strike. Life inside the killer, thriller tonight, yeah. You hear the door slam and realize there's nowhere left to run. You feel the cold hand and wonder if you'll ever see the sun. Start to scream, but terror takes the sound before you make it, yeah. You start to freeze as horror looks you right between. between the eyes. You're out of time. Yeah, this is Thriller, Thriller Night. And you don't stand a chance against a beast with 40 eyes. Thriller, ooh, Thriller Night. I'm fighting for your life inside that killer. To walk in their masquerade. There's no escape in the jaws of the aliens this time. This is the end of your life. They're out to get you. There's demons closing in on every side. They will possess you unless you change the number on the dial. Now is the time for you and I to cuddle close together, yeah. All through the night, I'll save you from the terrors on the screen. I'll make you sing, yeah. This is Thriller, Thriller Night. And I could thrill you more than any ghost would dare to try.